This morning's reading is from the book Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather together stones, to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to speak, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace.
To everything, there is a season. Turn, turn, turn. And the clock turns, and the seasons change, and another new year is upon us. After a season of Advent, we pause now in these days of Christmas. You know, we spent so long waiting for Christmas to get here that we're often eager to box it up as soon as it's done, right? In fact, Britain even has a Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, that is intended to move that season right along out of there. But tradition says that we get 12 days of Christmas. So, as we told the kids, it's not over yet. There's still time to sing joy to the world and pause for reflection as we say goodbye to one year and welcome another, celebrating this light among us. I personally like to linger a little longer in the season of Christmas. I wish that we were a family that held off on gifts until Epiphany. That was my ideal in my head before I actually had a child and a family, because the secular observation is strong. The pull just sucked us right on in. So we've embraced Santa now with full force. I think we saw him about 8 times this year, if not more. And we tried really hard to do fun, intentional Christmas activities. Most of them were free or inexpensive so that Molly could enjoy that anticipation of Christmas Day. We opened our Advent calendar and enjoyed a chocolate each day, though more likely than not we'd have to play catch-up several days in a row, and then we'd get to eat a whole bunch of chocolate at one time, and that just made the time go faster, so it was really fun. Having a 3-year-old has made Christmas so much more delightful than ever before. I feel like I get a second chance to relive my own childhood. I'm more aware of the magic, and I hope that someday I'll get to be a grandparent. I'll be a really old one, but I'll get to do it again for a second time, or a third time even. So for now, I'm relishing what we have. Seeing Christmas through the eyes of a child is truly magical. So now Advent is done, and we get this pause to sit in the Christmas season. The problem is that, of course, the secular pull is so strong that our culture has been celebrating it since Halloween, and they're all tired of it. And if we are honest with ourselves, we're a little oversaturated, too. Coast 103 diligently played our favorite Christmas songs, along with some other obscure tunes that we weren't so familiar with, but they played it with gusto, so we tried to sing along. And that all started before Thanksgiving. So Christmas Day, it's like they cut us off. They were so ready to be done and back to their usual soft rock, business as usual. And if we're honest, we were too. It's almost impossible to celebrate Christmas in any sort of traditional way. I drove past a Christmas tree lot a week before Christmas, and they were all cleared out. And if any of you did any late Christmas shopping, which my brother used to always do Christmas Eve shopping, it was a tradition, but I don't know if you noticed, but the stores were really cleared out early too. They just don't do Christmas Eve shopping anymore. I don't know how anybody could wait until Christmas Eve to get your Christmas tree if you wanted to, because hardly anybody does a traditional 12 days of Christmas anymore, at least not in our culture. So it causes us this opportunity to ask, how do we both be secularly aware, observe the cultural Christmas of our society, but also pause to celebrate Christmas of our faith? What do we do in the in-between? Because that's what Christmas is now. It's this in-between time. It's the in-between the madness of Christmas prep that's supposed to be this reflective season of Advent, but inevitably, even as I try and try for myself, becomes this packed calendar filled with Christmas parties and late-night shopping trips that lead to even later nights camped up on the floor with rolls of paper and ribbons and scissors that threaten to overtake you. And it's so hard when you're 7 months pregnant and you can't reach everything. Thank God for husbands. But Christmas is crazy. If we get through today, we'll finally have made it through our last party. There's a little less stress, but the excitement isn't done yet. So we get this somewhere in between time. And I think this is where we finally get to breathe. I like that. I think I might like it even more than I like Advent now, if I'm honest, because I try and try to pause during Advent, to wait and wait and be intentional. And, you know, we have to be honest, we have Christmas party the day before Advent even began this year. We had Santa Claus here on December 1st. We were singing our Christmas cantata and in a Christmas pageant, and we didn't have a whole lot of quiet time, even as we were intentional to work those in. But in this in-between time, we get a chance to breathe, to finally experience the opportunity to reflect, to pause. Because it's just so hard to, as we prepare ourselves for that Christmas with the craziness. So I appreciate that the New Year observation comes right in this quiet downtime. So I get a chance to think about where I've been and where I'm going. I get to live in the joy of Christmas and let my body sigh and my lungs slowly inhale and exhale. Spent some lazy mornings staring at the lights of my Christmas tree and the ornaments that have adorned it in one form or another for over 40 years, telling my history from parents and grandparents and my own daughter and even unborn child. I appreciate this pause. What about you? Did you get those times this week? I hope and pray. I had a little sickness in between, but I think my body was saying, ah, as it exhaled. I think about the last year and all that has changed. Personally, I was just recovering from a surgery a year ago as I was grappling with our infertility and making plans and dreams about how I would combat it. And now, here I am, 7 months pregnant. My hopelessness has been turned to hopeful anticipation. I feel like I have a better idea of how my life will change in this new year, since this will be our second child. But at the same time, everybody reminds me that life is exponentially different with two children. So I wonder, can we fully prepare for it? Michelle. Oh, grandmas and aunties. Good thing there's a lot of you. I think there's something valuable about taking the time to try to set goals, expectations, to name hopes and dreams. After all, if we never have a goal, we can't ever achieve it. If we don't dream, how will they ever know if they can come true? So I'm wondering if you have had an opportunity in the last few days to have some restful moments. I don't know if you've been still carrying on that Christmas train, go going house to house, or if you spent some lazy mornings sipping coffee or tea in front of a Christmas tree, thinking about your life and your year and what's coming next. If you have or haven't, I'm offering you this opportunity now. In your bulletin, you'll see a piece of paper that will give you a chance to jot down some of these thoughts in the event that you haven't had the time to reflect. We can take some intentional time now. Now, you're not going to be able to answer all the questions this moment, although you might have taken some time as we've led up to now to think about it. But I want you to think about a couple of them and take home the rest to continue to process when you have more time on your hands. So imagine, and you can either begin writing right away or just let these questions ruminate, but think about what challenge you faced this last year. For some of you, that is an obvious one. You know it and you can name it. For others, it takes the time to really reflect. Is it still present? If not, how did you maneuver it? If so, how can you approach it differently? What unexpected gift did you receive in 2017? Who came into your life this past year? Who is no longer physically present? How has this year changed you? How did you affect another person's life? And now, as we look forward to 2018, we can ask ourselves these questions. What challenges do you anticipate in this new year? Is there someone that you want to connect or reconnect with? How will you bring more joy into your life and into our world this year? What gifts will you give others? And how do you want to change this year in your life, in our world, in your family? Now, sometimes I feel like when I share out loud, it makes something more real. I don't know, maybe it's because I feel like if I say it out loud, I'm suddenly accountable to something. So I wanted to give you this opportunity to share out loud with one another. Again, this isn't mandatory, but we've had a time to reflect and you've been holding in your hand all service long. I just want one answer to one question. Nothing has to be long and nobody has to share anything. But I'm thinking that if we say these things out loud, we have an opportunity to connect with one another. In sharing our reflections, we share in this past year together, knowing that probably some of those big things we did share with you this year. We remember, we held one another. And there may be some things that we didn't even realize you were experiencing. And this is an opportunity for us to hold it together. And as we look into the new year, we help ourselves be accountable to one another, to help ourselves attain those goals and resolutions, or to carry and comfort one another with those challenges that we anticipate to come. So I think there's something very powerful about sharing. I think it's necessary for church people like us to do things like this in community so we can support one another in our heartache, in our challenges, in our joys and our hopes and our dreams. So I'm going to take my roving mic, wherever it is now. Did it go somewhere? There it is. And just pop your hands up. I'm going to try to go in geographical areas. So if you feel like sharing, please do. If it's too hard, it's not mandatory. But I'm going to grab my question. And I think Suzanne's going to start us. If you'll do me a favor, do say your name and one of those questions. Suzanne.
My name is Suzanne, and my father's died in 2017. He's no longer here.
And that's a big one, huh? Big challenge that you faced and experienced. Okay, thank you. Anybody else want to share? You did so well at Thanksgiving. I thought you were sharers. Marty, was that a...
I'll answer number five. Who came into my life this past year, and that's a great-grandson. So, and it made Christmas really more fun.
My name is Michelle, and how I want to bring more joy into my life and world this year, it sounds a little selfish, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm scheduling me time, like on an actual schedule, and blocking out time on my husband's work calendar. So I have a girls' weekend planned and massages and just little things like that. So anyway.
That's a good one, Michelle. My name's Becky, and I recently have moved to Washington, D.C., and so a goal that I have is to make new friends, being in a new town, and being as a young adult, that can be kind of challenging, so it's an anticipated and welcome challenge for 2018.
It means you have a lot of homework to do. No one else, our sharers? Okay, I can count on my music team. Marge, were you holding a hand? No, you weren't, but Elena was.
I don't have the numbered sheet, so my goal is to reconnect with several old friends that I've lost touch with, so that's my hope for the new year.
I'm Jim, and I'm going to answer number four. What unexpected gift did I receive in 2017? I received the gift of my brother Ed's visit. And he's going to be here for a week, and we get to play six times together this week and make music. Thank you, Ed. Welcome to Fairview.
And my name's Gary. Numbers four and five, our unexpected gift was our third granddaughter, after a couple of miscarriages, so it was a tough previous year. And so she's numbers four and five. She came into our lives. She's a wonderful little girl.
Number four and number four on the bottom. Number four, unexpected gift. My husband is finally has normal heart rhythm. That was accomplished. He's now on day 31. And number four, what gifts will you give others? I am volunteering for the Bolsa Chica Wetlands to plant nature plants there in Huntington Beach.
Cool. I like this because we can like take ideas from one another and maybe join folks on that. Okay, I was waiting for this one.
So I'll do number one at the top. What challenge did you face in this last year? And I think you all know it was getting a new lung. And then number three at the bottom. Since I got a new lung and got some more chance of life to live longer, I got to figure out what God has intended for me.
I have three nieces and have been out of touch with each of them for various reasons. And yesterday I decided to let my ego have a break, and I called my youngest niece in Arizona, not knowing if she was alive or not, or if she wanted to talk or didn't. And we had this wonderful hour of reconnecting to our fondness for each other. So I intend to carry, her name is Carrie, carry this forward into 2018.
Well, fortunately, we have a brunch coming up in a couple of moments, and you have these all on a sheet of paper, so you can actually begin to share these with one another. Perhaps most importantly, I want you to think about them yourselves. I think just in the few folks that did share, I certainly felt more connected to each of you and thought of things that I could do and change in my life. So thank you for your willingness to share, your vulnerability, your connection. As the season turns, we say goodbye to 2017. May we thank God for those ways that we have grown, for the people who have touched our lives, and the opportunities that we have had to make a difference in the lives of others. May time heal us from wounds inflicted and heartache experienced. May our reflection help to shape us as we move forward in personal and communal growth. May we accept new challenges and dream new dreams. May God give us the drive to reach for the stars and touch one another with open hearts and generosity we didn't know we had in us. May we let the season of Christmas linger beyond these 12 days so the baby born on Christmas morn resides in us. And we commit ourselves to care for a world that cares for every baby, where light shines forth in all the dark places because we are unafraid to carry the light there, where gifts are given freely and the spirit of Christmas never ends. So as we welcome this new year, we bring us with us the light of Christ, the light of hope, of peace, and joy, and love, the endless possibilities that are birthed anew in us and in our world. As the clock ticks towards the future, may we give thanks for all that we have been, all that we have experienced this year, and the years that led us to now, so that 2018 will truly be a happy new year. Amen.